Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be. Last week, I talked about counting the cost, and we read the scripture about what builder doesn't first sit down and count the cost before he begins to build, because he would look foolish to other people if he didn't actually plan it out and work it all out. It says in Luke 14:28, says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So God, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of coming around your word. And God, I pray that you would minister and speak to people's hearts today. God, we thank you that you're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we don't want to be the church that starts out the process and is not able to finish. Amen? Amen. You might want to say that a little bit more louder. Amen, exactly. Yes. So, I was thinking about what it means for us to count the cost. What does it mean for us to actually sacrifice and give our lives to Him for what God's called us to do? Now, there's a great example in the conflict that I've been thinking about this morning in the relationship to counting the cost is the tension between faith and reality. Faith is the things that God asks us to do. Faith, having faith, is us putting action to the things that God puts in our heart. But then there's this little thing called reality. Amen? Everybody knows that whenever you set out to do something, there are going to be obstacles and mountains that need to be cast in the sea. There are going to be things that we need to work out how to overcome. So God puts faith in our heart, but then there's the reality of the situation where things seem impossible. How can we actually go forward? How can I personally go forward when I'm facing the reality of my circumstances? And this is a genuine tension that all of us seem to experience. And if you haven't experienced, get ready, because you will experience this tension in your journey. A great example of this in scripture is Moses's interaction with God. When he asked God to go to Pharaoh and tell the people to let God's people go, it says in Exodus 3:7, "Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries and distress because of their harsh slave drives. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you, Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt.'" That's pretty awesome. Moses has had a supernatural experience with God. God is speaking to him through a burning bush. I mean, if that happened to me, everything in my life would change from that moment forward. And I would do exactly every single thing that God asked me to do, because this is a divine moment. In fact, God says, hey, this is a holy moment. Take off your shoes. This is a supernatural moment. But let's look at Moses's first response to God in Exodus 3:11. After God has spoken to him supernaturally through a burning bush, in verse 11, it says, "But Moses protested to God, 'Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?'" His first response was to question his own identity and his own authority. In fact, there are five interactions where Moses rejects and pushes back. The first one is, "Who am I?" The second one is, "Who are you?" The third is they won't believe me. The fourth is I'm not good at this. And the fifth is please send someone else. Have you ever had a please send someone else moment? Or a please send someone else Sunday morning? One thing that I've noticed is that God doesn't ask Moses to consider the reality of the situation, of what he's asking him to do. He doesn't ask him to consider the reality when counting the cost. God just says, go. And why is it that our human nature instantly, even if God himself showed up and asked us to do something, one of our first responses is to actually weigh and measure and consider the reality of our situation? How is it that that comes first before God? And I think I'm not any better than Moses. I actually do this same thing all the time. I've done this a number of times when it comes to the building. And I've gone, God, send someone else. Or I've thought it at least. And I've done it in other things. I weigh and measure the reality. But I don't know if God actually asks us to weigh and measure the reality when he's asking us to do something. And by reality, what I mean is the circumstances, the situation that you're facing. So I believe that reality will often be at odds with faith. There will often be a conflict between the reality of your situation and the faith, the measure of faith that God has put in your heart. Lots of people, in fact, won't even consider the faith journey because they've been so consumed by the reality of the situation. Have you ever been silenced because of the circumstances and we're not willing to step out and trust God and be obedient to what God's called us to do? I think that Exchange Church is not just a church that considers the reality, but in faith, we see beyond the circumstances and reach for what God's got for us. You can see this same conflict in Scripture between of faith and reality when the 12 spies are sent out to scope or scout the promised land. In Numbers 13, 27, it says, this was their report to Moses. And I want you to listen to this. The first half is faith, but the second half is reality. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed, it is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit that it produces. They're basking, they're marinating in this. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And so here you see God's people struggling with this tension. And I believe often that's the challenge that we face when it comes to doing what God's called us to do. You know, when I know in my journey, there's been moments where God has come along and he's tapped me on the shoulder and he said, it's time to step up and go to another level of responsibility or another level of what I've called you to do. And sometimes it's comfortable, sometimes it's not. But we need to be obedient and when we're facing that. So now listen, I'm not suggesting that people of faith need to ignore reality. I'm suggesting that faith puts reality into its correct context. Amen? Faith puts reality into its correct context. So we're not saying we're going to live blind and not consider the circumstances that we're facing. Faith doesn't ignore reality, it changes it. Faith has the ability, when we trust and do something God's way and we lean on him, even though it doesn't make sense in the natural, we know that faith can actually change the circumstances that are around us and we can see God do a miraculous work through us because it's God's agenda of what God wants to get done. And I want to be available for God to be able to do that. Reality provides two things for people of faith. It provides growth before a miracle. That's what reality does. You may look at the reality and go, it's impossible. Well, that's going to provide you a pathway to grow closer in trusting God in your faith, in stepping out. And the second thing reality does is it provides a contrast for a miracle. It's when a miracle has taken place and the reality said that it wasn't possible, and now you can give God all the glory because look what God did compared to what was. I've broken through. I've seen God has spoken to me. We've seen change. We've seen people's change. I even think some of you are looking at some of the people that you love that are away from Jesus, and you're telling God the reality of the circumstance. Stop telling God the reality and start praying in faith and calling that person into the kingdom. Because I believe that our God is a God of miracles. When someone tells you this, when someone tells you, hey, and I get this all the time and understand the heart, but when someone says, hey, Pastor Mark, I don't want to burst your bubble, I'm a realist. Have you ever met realists? What they are actually telling you is they know how to observe reality without faith. Anyone can be a realist. I can tell you the circumstances and the 15 reasons why we can't possess the land. That's what a realist is, calling that which is as it is. But a person of faith calls that which is not into existence because we're trusting in God. So I don't want to be just a realist and someone that knows reality and knows the circumstances. I want to be someone that can hear God's voice and actually speak to the reality and watch God transform reality. And then we see a miracle take place. My encouragement to us and to everyone today is to not allow yourself to get familiar and stuck at reality. Don't get stuck there. Your God is greater than the reality of the circumstances that you're facing. And that's what makes us different from the world. We don't come under the spirit of the world. In fact, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we look and see things differently than the world do. We see it through the possibility of, could God change it? You know, I hear this all the time. Well, statistically, not everyone who gets prayed for gets healed. Maybe it's 90% of people don't get healed. So does that mean I have now permission to shut God out of that process, even though I can't? I still want to trust that God can do it. Now, just to be clear, I have no issue with reality or no beef with reality. My issue is when Christians prioritize reality over faith. It's when reality becomes the loudest voice in the room because we serve a God of miracles. I love what Jesus said in Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible according to his will. Amen. So there seems to be a potential conflict between faith and reality. And I wonder what it is that you're facing right now. What real circumstances, what real challenges that instead of that you've decided, unfortunately, to come under. I wonder what you've compromised or you've allowed to creep in instead of allowing God to re-stir your faith, to believe for God to do something that only God can do. Now, in this potential conflict between faith and reality, I was thinking about faith. When faith is functioning correctly, it has the potential to change reality. Amen. And here's what I believe. I wrote down five things that faith demands from us. Faith demands that we believe that Jesus lived a perfect life and we believe in his death and resurrection. Faith demands that. Amen. That he died and rose again. I believe faith demands that you have a spirit and it's eternal. That's a big one. You have a spirit, your body shall pass, but your spirit will not. And your spirit will be with God or not with God for eternity. That changes my priority a lot in the way that what I value, how I spend my time, who I spend my time with. Faith demands that our ultimate reward is heaven. And so I'm not so consumed by that which moth and rust
can take away, but to store up a treasure in heaven. Faith demands that scripture is the perfect word of God, which means you have an anchor, that when there's confusion and when there's chaos, that you have an absolute to be able to grab onto in times of trouble and in times of victory. And finally, faith demands that facts are subject to faith. Facts are subject to faith. Amen. Because the fact is, it's not normal for Jesus to spit in the ground or someone to spit in the mud and rub it in someone's eyes and they get healed, as we read in scripture. That's not normal. In fact, factually, if I went out and tried that on someone, you might not see me next week. But if you're willing to have a shot, let me know. Facts are subject to faith. I think some of us need to remind our spirit and encourage ourselves when we wake up in the morning and we're facing a challenging season to allow the faith to stir up and to be reminded that your faith, when functioning in a healthy way, has the possibility and the potential to change some of the things that aren't changing. One thing that I love about reading scripture is how God takes people from their current circumstance and their current position, and he elevates them. He takes ordinary people and then he uses their life in a magnificent way. And there's this beautiful contrast between who they once were and now what God did through their life. For example, I love God promising Abraham an heir, and he had, and Sarah gave birth at 90 years old and he was 100. That's a miracle. That is facts having to adjust the faith. Amen. I love that he asks Moses to speak to the Pharaoh to let God's people go. I mean, that's crazy. That's like God speaking to someone in this room and say, go over to Korea, North Korea, and speak to Kim Jong-un and say, hey, buddy, you need to let these people go. It's the same equivalent. Amen. And it doesn't make sense in the natural. But that's facts are subject to faith. I love how we see God instructing Joshua to possess the promised land. Samson fighting 1,000 people with a donkey's jawbone. Makes no sense. Another thing I'm willing to try. Gideon defeating 135,000 men with only 300 men. It just doesn't make any sense, right? And if, in fact, if you're traveling through in this journey, this relationship with God, there should be some things in your life that don't make sense. Things that you're believing for that are within biblical promise, but are so radical that it just doesn't make any logical sense. But here's the reality is that facts are subject to faith. I bet there's some people here this morning that you have a bunch of facts that are in conflict with the promise of God over your life. I bet you're wrestling between faith and reality and what it means to count the cost, to live the life of faith, rather than get comfortable and snuggle up to reality and not see anything change. This is why I love the journey that God's got us on, because our journey seems impossible. It's like the church that just won't die. We just keep on surviving through every major crazy thing that happens in the world. We're still here. I wondered if someone, if you're in a season right now where reality has been speaking to you louder than the voice of God. Is reality speaking and spitting facts at you louder than the promises and the word of God, than the voice of God? I wonder if you have chosen to come under, or you're willing to allow God to lift your spirit up, to stir your faith again, and to continue to believe that God can make a way where man can't. I love Romans 12:2, and I'll finish with this. I just want to say there are no chapters in the Bible dedicated to the heroes of reality. But there is a chapter dedicated to the heroes of faith. There's a chapter dedicated to people who trusted God and allowed him to do the impossible through their life. And that's the church we are, amen. Trusting God to do the impossible. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy the world. Don't deal with reality the same way the world deals with reality. You haven't been set apart, purchased by the blood of Christ to live an ordinary life. You've been called, chosen, set apart to do something wonderful and significant for God, to be part of his story. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.